They do not necessarily call it a religious feeling, nor does it occur only to those who belong to an institutional religion or who indulge in corporate acts of worship. It often occurs to children, to atheists and agnostics, and it usually induces in the person concerned a conviction that the everyday world is not the whole of reality, that there is another dimension to life. Some people feel a personal, devotional relationship with the power after their experience. Some call it God, some do not. Some see it as an aspect of their wider self through which such an experience has come, whilst others see it as part of man's general consciousness. Hardy had begun his work with the hope that he could classify the accounts of experiences into a convenient taxonomy. But very few accounts featured only a single element. He and his colleagues later decided to group them into 12 general classifications for analysis. Experiences identified by Hardy. I realized that the form of the vision and the words I heard were the result of my education and cultural background, but the voice, though closer than my own heartbeat, was entirely separate from me. A woman hospitalized for depression recalling a comforting RSME. Whilst I was looking towards the ruins of the abbey, I felt a great sense of peace, as though I saw myself in the flow of history and knew where I fitted into it. As though I were really in touch with life in all its continuity and purpose. A professor who tried but failed to rationalize his RSME. Going back on the bus that evening, I felt and was an entirely different person. I astonished myself by smiling at people, by making room for them instead of hating them for sitting next to me. A person who experienced an attitude change following an RSME. Hardy and his colleagues identified a variety of triggers, as they called them, for an RSME. Everything from sacred places to sex, or even an anesthetic. His decision to begin by asking for first-person accounts rather than by administering a questionnaire was vindicated because the less common triggers might not have been identified in advance. It also pointed up the wisdom of not relying only on the volunteers or information provided by religious groups associated with a specific approach. The single most common trigger was depression or despair. Prayer or meditation was the second most common, but natural beauty was a close third, mentioned more often than religious worship.